Well, we certainly know from stories over the years, it's something that we've talked about on the program, and we see examples of this all the time. Our infrastructure in this nation is crumbling, and it is more than just an inconvenience. It can be incredibly dangerous. We talk about bridges that need repair in this country. Dr. Allison Black is with us this morning. You have some statistics on this which will drive the point home, correct?
I do. What we did is we've released a study looking at some data that's published annually by the U.S. Department of Transportation. And what the DOT does is they collect information that's submitted by the state DOTs and local governments on the condition of all of the bridges across the nation. So we're talking about over 610,000 structures. So what we found in the latest numbers is that we still have over 61,000 bridges in the country that are rated as structurally deficient. And what that means is that one of the key elements, either the superstructure, the deck, or the substructure, the part underneath the bridge, is considered to be in poor or worse condition.
And again, we have seen, folks who remember, back a couple of years ago, we had a number of really high-profile bridge collapses. Ultimately, that's what this can lead to if these things are not addressed.
It can, and that's the worst extreme case scenario. We do have,
right.
We're making incremental progress. We've moved about 2,000, we have about 2,000 fewer deficient bridges this year than we did last year, and we see a lot of variation from state to state. In Ohio, there are over 2,000 bridges that are classified as structurally deficient, and that's about 8% of all the bridges in the state inventory.
And to address this issue, what are we talking cost-wise?
It is a big price tag. Right now we have, in terms of both highway and bridge investment needs, the USDOT estimates that we have about $800 billion in backlog. Those are projects, you know, work that could be done. If we had the money today, that's what we would need to invest. The challenge is, you know, we have seen a number of states trying to increase their own investment, certainly including Ohio with some of the changes you all made to provide some additional turnpike revenues for the traditional program. But the real challenge right now is that at the federal level, the federal aid program needs to be, we need to have Congress pass funding for the Highway Trust Fund, and there's just no political will to increase investment, and that federal portion is really important. The Federal Aid Highway Program is about half of all highway and bridge construction funding across the country.
What happens, let me back up and ask you. You say that there's just not really a whole lot of political will to, you know, that this isn't seen as an urgent thing. Why not?
Well, it's a funding issue, and the challenge is that the revenues coming into the Highway Trust Fund, which funds the Federal Aid Highway Program, have not been increased. That flat 18.4 cents per gallon that we all pay in the federal gas tax has not been increased for over 20 years. So you have a situation where the demand and the needs are far greater than the money that's being collected. So you also have another situation where the spending through the Federal Aid Highway Program is actually more now than we're bringing in. So Congress really has a decision to make. They can either increase funding through some sort of revenue mechanism, which the gas tax, of course, is one way that we've traditionally funded the program. They can cut the program, which I don't think there's a lot of political will to do that. Or they can continue to borrow money from the general fund, which is what they've been doing since 2008.
There has also been discussion over a different model. As you mentioned, the gas tax has been the traditional one where these revenues have come from. But with increased fuel economy and things like hybrid vehicles, electric vehicles, alternative energies, and so on and so forth, we're just simply buying less gas, and you've got more vehicles traveling more miles on less fuel. That means less money to take care of all of that wear and tear. So how critical is it to look at a changing paradigm in terms of the way we drive and what we drive and how we fund these repairs?
If in the short run, As people do make that decision to purchase more fuel-efficient vehicles, the U.S. Energy Information Association, which does a 20-year forecast of a lot of these factors we're talking about, they estimate that overall gasoline consumption is going to decline by about 1% a year over the next 20 years. So, you know, even though people are buying more fuel-efficient cars, it takes a while for that to work its way into our overall fleet. So, yeah, it does. It takes longer than people think. The real issue
So what you're saying is that's not as big of an impact as maybe what has been made out to be?
That's exactly right. It really isn't. The big factor is that just that purchasing power of the gas tax has not been raised as prices have increased significantly over the last 20 years. So it's like you or I wouldn't, if you didn't have an increase in your wages for 20 years, think what you could hardly buy anything. And that's been the real issue with why the Highway Trust Fund is having trouble, why those revenues coming in are not covering the expenses and the costs.
Going to be hard, though, to sell an increase of the gas tax to a public that is still, even at $2.50 a gallon, which is much lower than what it was a year ago this time. A lot of people still view that as astronomically high, and then you're talking about the potential of raising the gas tax on top of that. That's got to be a tough sell.
And that's why I'm saying there's very little political will. Actually look at what's been going on over the last 10 years. We track ballot initiatives at the state and local level to increase transportation funding. There have been over 650 state and mainly local initiatives, and 75% to 76% of those have been approved. So in 3 out of 4 cases, people are saying, yes, I will vote to increase some sort of transportation revenues. Usually it's a local property or sales tax at the local level. I will support that when I know it's going back towards improving my community. So I think people are willing to do that. I think the politicians don't always get that message that, like I said, there's just Congress needs to do its job. This is what it's elected for.
You do make a good point that this generally does have broad support when it's used for infrastructure repair. It seems that this is a nonpartisan issue that everybody knows our infrastructure needs help, and we've got to get this done somehow. You've got more information about all of this on your website. Is that correct?
We do. At www.artva.org, we have individual state profiles and quite a bit of information on all of these issues we've been talking about.
We will link up to that on our webpage. Folks can check that out online. Dr. Allison Black with us this morning talking about the sad state of America's infrastructure and what to do about it. Dr. Black, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.